This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive. My name is Wally Lynn, in for the beautiful Sybil today. And as always, David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard are here. And it's so good to be back with you guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Welcome to your own show.
Thank you, Wally. Hey, we're so
always
glad to have you.
Good to see you guys.
If sexy Sybil can't be here, we're glad you can.
That's great. I mean, it's a major step down in the appearance of the show.
I don't know.
I will say that.
I don't know. We can see the bottom half of your legs in those sexy shorts. Good.
You know what? At least I didn't come in here today talking about stuff coming out of my armpits when I get scared driving, as somebody did on this show.
I just wanted to know how other people feel when that adrenaline shoots through your body. You know, when you have those near-miss accidents?
Yes.
Or you don't have the accident. You have the near-miss of the accident. And the adrenaline pulses through your system, and everybody feels differently when that happens. Well, physically, what happens to me is I have this stinging feeling in my armpits. It feels like maybe the adrenaline pulses through my body, and it ends there and wants to just shoot out my armpit. So, of course,
thanks.
Wally turned it into
David.
I'm spraying.
Thanks so much for sharing.
David, she works with you.
Thanks so much for sharing. Oh, my God.
Well, how do other people deal? You know, when you have those near misses, it affects you physically.
I don't know. It's the same feeling that you have. Near misses are the same feeling that you have when you get out of your car back in the old days, and right when you release the door, knowing that the key is in there. You know that
well,
that little quick jump you get where you go,
it's too late because it goes
late.
Click.
It's the same. I don't know. It's the same feeling. You just for that split second. You just don't.
Oh no!
It's not good.
I don't know. I get sort of an excited feeling.
You're ready for the wreck.
I just get sort of an excited feeling on a near miss. It's not unpleasant.
Maybe we should ask our guest at 9:30 that today, because
out of
the Firestone Twin 275s, which is this weekend, James Hinchcliffe will be with us to talk about what that race is like. So David was really excited about James being, I can't wait. James is going to be here. He's going nuts.
Well, you know what? He's with Newman Haas Racing. He's been Rookie of the Year. He's a great driver, starting 15th, I think, today.
Yes.
And so we're going to have him on at 9:30. And I think it'll be really interesting to ask him about what it's like to sit in that cockpit and go around that track at 220 miles an hour. I've been around it at 156, and let me tell you, that's a thrill. I can't even imagine 212.
Let me just say my pits would be stinging the whole time. They'd be stinging.
212. That's incredible.
Yeah,
because I've done that once, too, where I got in a car and went around the track. I almost asked them to stop. I was so scared.
I went about 85 one time, and it was, scary. No, 85, not 185.
The wuss of the show would be Tammy Pickard.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm the one, don't text and drive. Don't even get on your phone. So.
Which we'll cover later in the show.
Mm-hmm. All right, again.
The phone number is 877-881-1053. David and Tammy can answer all your questions, automobile related, from leasing to buying to what's in the news. We'll go over all sorts of stuff today. 877-881-1053, Fantext 43733. So there you go. You got the number, you've got the fan text, so join us and let's talk. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about why your commute is killing you. That's a discussion that we'll have here coming up at 9:15, which is quite frankly true.
It really is.
Commutes are weird. We'll discuss that. Also coming up, Toyota is facing that sudden acceleration loss, and it's still a ways away.
Right,
that's not going to come around for a while. So we'll talk about that as well. But we start with this. I walked in this morning, and I was asking Dave, what's in the news? And we were discussing, Tammy, what's going on with Hyundai. And Hyundai, their cars are so good, they've designed a program because their cars are so good, because they need to make more money, and this is what they've come up with. David, is that a good way of teasing this story?
You know, they came out with a big announcement, and now they have joined with Interstate National Dealer Services, and I'm not exactly too sure who they are, but Interstate National Dealer Services is going to administrate this Hyundai Residual Value Guarantee Program. Hyundai has come out and said, our cars are so great that we're going to guarantee the resale value on our cars for between 2 and 4 years. So if you go out and get a Hyundai and you want to bring it back and trade it in, they're going to guarantee the resale value to you anywhere between 24 and 48 months. And I thought, you know, that's a really cool thing. And then I started looking into it. And I found out that Hyundai...
You do that, by the way.
Yeah, Hyundai...
He looks into things.
Hyundai has got the lowest penetration of service for their service departments in their dealerships pretty well of any other manufacturer.
That means,
all right, let me stop you there. That means people don't go back to Hyundai to get their cars fixed.
Exactly.
Okay.
They don't get their services done there. They don't get their maintenance done there.
They take it in for warranty.
So Hyundai... has designed this program, but to qualify for that guaranteed resale value, you have to have had all your services done at a franchised Hyundai dealer or a Hyundai franchise dealer. So what this is going to do, they hope, is push people back into the Hyundai dealerships to get their oil changes and the 15,000-mile service and the 30,000-mile service.
The brake jobs.
Yeah, exactly. And that way Hyundai sells some parts. Their dealers make some money, but they have it. That's not what they're saying.
And then, do you have to get another Hyundai?
I bet you
have to trade it for another Hyundai.
Yeah,
too. You can't
do.
Trade it for a Honda. It has to be a Hyundai.
Yeah, there would be no future in them doing that.
Would it not? You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sort of serves two purposes. It drives people back to the Hyundai dealership to get their services done, which they're not doing now, and they hopefully sell another Hyundai. Which, and they are selling some Hyundais, so that's that's not an issue. But this is a service issue and not a guaranteed resale issue. They're selling it as a guaranteed resale issue, but what they're trying to do is get people back in to buy Hyundai parts when they get their car serviced.
Okay, so here's the question. Will it work? And I'm going to ask that question with this. I'm just taking what I do personally with my car. Okay, if it's an oil change deal and I see a coupon for $19.95, I'll do that. I'll do that anywhere, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But after I've gotten a car, which I've gotten cars from David and Tammy, I usually don't do the dealership thing. I've got my guy.
Right. That services your car.
That I take my car to because I trust him so much that he becomes the guy who works on my car regardless of what car it is.
Right.
I think that's going to be real hard to overcome.
Well, it's according to how deeply people look into this deal, because they're going to be, if they don't look into it deeply, they're going to be a bunch of disappointed people.
I think you should look
when
at
they
the
come
cost.
Back at 48 months and find out that they didn't get their services done there and the guarantee doesn't apply.
And you really have to think about what does their service cost, because part of the reason a lot of people don't go back to the dealership is you're paying a higher per hour labor rate to the dealer, because they've got a lot of overhead. Now, their technicians are certified. They've been to all these schools and classes, and they know the car inside out. So you are getting a little something for your money there. And if you don't have your guy, then that's a very comforting feeling for so many people.
But I've got my guy.
I got my guy.
And I'm in the business. You've got your guy. Mm-hmm. And Wally has his guy.
And you know what's really cool about us having our guys, Dave? Our clients call back and ask us, hey, you know, such and such happened. You know, what should I do? And we always refer them to our guys.
I think one of the reasons that Jim is so busy, Jim Coble is my guy. I think one of the reasons he's so busy is I send him everyone I know. I send him all of family cars, everything.
He's a straight-up guy.
Because he's a straight-up guy.
He'll put a Band-Aid on it if it'll take a Band-Aid, and he'll tell you if you're going to have to go in and amputate.
Yeah, see, that's where you're different from me, because I don't tell anyone about my guy.
Oh.
Because you want
way I can get my car in and out faster.
You're mean. Well, see, we're in sales. We're all about referrals.
I see.
Okay. And part of our business is a huge referral business, because people are so satisfied when they come to AutoFlex with the experience that we make it fast, we make it easy, it's fun, and they tell their friends and family about it.
Will you tell this again, because some people have this misnomer about AutoFlex, and I started doing business with you guys about a year and a half ago, and because I've leased and bought from you. And so that's what's really cool for me is I went in and you have – Derek works with me, and I said, hey, Derek. And he said, well, you can buy it or you can lease it. So I get the full menu with you guys, and a lot of people probably don't realize that.
No, you don't. And since we offer all brands, you can come back time and time again and work with your same people. And that there's a lot of comfort in that. My clients tell me all the time, I don't want to start fresh with somebody else.
Nobody
want to try to build another relationship. You have all of my data already. You have my credit. You have all of this. All I have to do is quickly update it over the phone, and boom. A car's delivered to our door.
I've got to say this also. Hyundai guarantees the residual value on their cars if you get that serviced at the Hyundai franchise dealer. At AutoFlex, if you lease a car from us, we guarantee the residual value no matter what kind it is.
Mm-hmm.
We always guarantee the residual value on our cars. So we, if you lease from us, we'll give you a guaranteed residual value. If you get a Honda, a Hyundai, a Ford, a Chevrolet, a Kia.
Whatever it is. A Bentley.
A Bentley.
Even a Bentley can have a guaranteed residual. And another thing to keep in mind is not only is that residual value guaranteed on every brand, right now especially, all those vehicles that we have leased are coming back, and we are calling our clients and letting them know when they have a good opportunity to trade out early.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that at the standard dealership. Your salesperson isn't going to call you and say, hey, right now, if you wanted to come out of your lease 2 years early, I could take you out and put you in another vehicle because you're even in your car, believe it or not. So what other brand do you want to look at? Because they can only sell their same brand, but we can do anything. So.
You know, and let's talk about that a minute, because used car values have gone up now successively for the last six months. It's crazy.
One of my old customers called yesterday. He's in the market for a pre-owned truck. And we had two that he's interested in. And he said, Tammy, do you think the prices are going to get any cheaper by the end of the summer? I said, nope.
Nope, they're going to be higher. And you know, the cars we've had in stock for a while are worth more than when we got them.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
So
it is crazy.
The sooner you buy, the cheaper you're going to get the deal right now, this year's especially.
The numbers to reach AutoFlex, 817 or 972-234-1234. Easy to remember, 817-972-234-1234, or go to autoflex.com. Your commute is killing you!
Me too!
We'll tell you why next on 105.3 The Fan.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
It's Wally Lynn for Sybil this morning. David Blassingame in, as always, along with Tammy Pickard. Saturday Morning Test Drive. The phone number, 877-881-1053. And you can fan text us at 43733. There is good news for drivers of sport utility vehicles. We'll tell you about that here in just a couple of minutes. But first, your commute is sending you to the grave. And with more... Here's David.
Well, a new study out of Umeå University in Sweden says that couples in which one partner computes more. Let's try this whole thing again. Okay,
does not compute.
Umeå University, Sweden. They just released a report that says if one partner in a set of couples commutes for more than 45 minutes, their chances are greater to divorce by 40%. In other words, if you drive more than 45 minutes, you got a greater than 40% chance of getting a divorce.
Well, that's
more
not,
than an average person.
So
that's
I
not
need
good.
To add 15 minutes to my drive.
Oh.
That's funny.
Well, if the average rate of divorce is already at 50%, does that increase it to 90?
I don't know. I know it'd be 40% more than 50.
No,
so
it's
be
40% 90. Of that 50%.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, 40
yeah.
of 50. Okay.
I don't do math on the air.
So that'd be about 70, I think.
Basically, here's the thing. Commuting is a migraine-inducing life suck. It is.
It's about as much fun as
assembling flat pack furniture, or going to the dentist. You know, it's terrible.
Okay,
well, I've got gas.
I'm glad you brought this up because I've got a commute deal for you.
Okay.
All right. I spent a week in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and I drove to Chicago from here. So that was the first time I've had the car experience in Chicago, and it is not good, right? And I was warned about it from people. I was trying to find my son a place to live in downtown Chicago, but they are the angriest people behind the wheel. You get honked at every turn. And I was talking to a guy who lived out in the suburbs about it, and he was discussing his car and referred to it as she, right? Oh, my car, I love her, and she's a blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what kind of car you got and all that kind of stuff. And then I asked him where he lived, and he said, there's no way I would live downtown because your car will get hit. He said, first of all, he said, your son will have a wreck in the 3 months that he's here. He said, guaranteed. Secondly, people in the downtown area don't care. They're real rude. And so when you drive in Chicago, you're going to get honk. People honk all the time.
Well, especially the taxi drivers.
And it's the commute issue because on a Friday afternoon, it can take you 2 hours to get from downtown Chicago to the suburbs. So I'm going to say that Chicago drivers, while I love the city.
Oh, the city's fabulous.
They're really, really mm-hmm. hissed off behind the wheel.
They are hissed off.
In the commute department.
Yeah, you know, right? We were there a couple of weeks ago on business, and it is amazing how aggressive the drivers in downtown Chicago are.
Well, 3 out of 4 taxi drivers got fired by me. Let me tell you, they scared the hiss out of me.
The hiss.
They are very aggressive, and they do all the honking, as far as I know.
So that's the lowdown on commuting.
Well,
it's not good for you or your relationships.
Well, it takes up so much of your time. That's less time for you to get out and exercise. It's less time to spend with your family. It's less time in the kitchen to cook a healthy meal versus driving through someplace.
Yeah,
and
a lot of people
crummy for you.
You eat a lot of crummy food when you. The longer you commute, the more crummy food you eat.
Because you're taking up so much of your time. It turns out that when they surveyed these people about a commute, and for people who didn't have such a long commute, how much monetary compensation would it take for you to add a long commute to your day to get to your job? Guess what the income increase had to be for it to be okay
what?
To commute 45 minutes?
What was
a 40% increase in salary. 40%.
That's what they said it was worth.
That's what their time, that extra 2 hours a day, they said for 40% more, okay.
You know, the study that was done by the 2006 Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman and Princeton economist Alan Krueger surveyed 900 Texas women and asked them on a scale of 1 to 10 what their most pleasurable and least pleasurable things were. Guess what number one was?
S-E-X.
Having sex. That was number one. Exactly. Secondly, socializing after work.
I thought it was shopping.
That came in second. Guess what came in dead last?
Commuting.
Guess what was the worst time to commute?
In the morning.
Absolutely. They did not like it at all.
Nobody
no
wants
one
to get up earlier.
Yeah. No one does.
Yeah, because
you've got a great commuting story, by the way, call
You
us.
Have to look all pretty and get ready and try to be chippy and all
and do
that
it in the car.
Right.
It's a hassle in the car to do all that. But, you know, I have a girlfriend who appreciates her commute. Now, she does have 5 kids.
But no wonder she commutes.
She moved out so they could get more house for less money, but now the gas is costing her the difference that she's probably saving. However, she said that's her time to decompress. You know, that's her alone time when she doesn't have 1 of 5 children that want something.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of enjoys it because it's her me time.
You know, there are people that combine that number one with that last one every once in a while on your rankings list.
Yeah, they do. They do. In fact,
that's not safe.
Interesting. That's worse than texting. Interestingly enough, by the way, there's a saying.
It's more fun.
There's a saying in the real estate business: drive until you qualify, and that puts a lot of people into a commuting situation because you get a lot more house for your money if you get way away from the city.
But if you don't have time to enjoy it.
Exactly. Or if you hate your wife and your kids by the time you get home because you're so bummed out about the commute.
Mm-hmm.
Or you hate everybody at work when you get there.
Right.
It's a downside.
Let's talk about SUVs.
Okay. This
was interesting because SUVs used to be the most likely vehicle to die in because of rollovers. And now I understand that that's changed a little bit, and that is good news, really good news
good
for
news
SUV
for
drivers.
SUVs. Mm-hmm.
Well, and here's why. It's called ESV. It's called controlled steering. It is the electronic stability control that is put on 65-70% of all the cars that are out there now. And it keeps you from being in a rollover situation. It can apply the brakes. It can it can decelerate the car and keep it from going into a rollover situation. So SUVs are now safer than cars are. And that is because they weigh more and they're bigger, actually. And if you're in a little car and you had a wreck with a big SUV, guess what? Physics still work, so the big car wins. But right now, the 26 lowest-rated vehicles tend to be smaller cars, and the highest-rated vehicles tend to be SUVs.
So that was a mid-2000s thing when the SUVs were troublesome?
Actually, it was up until about 2007, 2006,
okay.
2007, and then it started swinging back the other way. Yeah, in the 90s, it was a huge thing.
Even Lexus immediately took back their new GX model that they came out, that SUV, their midsize. They immediately took that right back off the market to fix the rollover issue because it was deemed one of the least safe rollover vehicles.
And interestingly enough, that was a reprogram, which is what we do now when we fix our cars.
Yeah.
They had to reprogram the car's computer, so they bring it in, they plug it in, they put the new program in, and the electronic stability control now works.
They didn't actually change any parts.
Right. Let's flip it over and go to, well, not flip it over. That's not good when you're talking about rollers. But the other side of the ledger, Nissan and Chevrolet drivers have the highest car crash death rates. That's the headline.
How
now let's try
work?
To figure out how we get there. What's that all about?
Okay, the actual headline on the story was SUVs now safer than passenger cars. That was the headline on the story. But when you hit the print key, the story comes out, Nissan Chevrolet drivers have the highest crash death rates, which is a little bit deceptive. So I'm not sure exactly how this was written, because in the story it does note that Nissan 350Z sports car drivers and Titan pickup drivers, also Chevrolet Aveo drivers and Cobalt drivers, are more likely to die in accidents than those of other vehicles. But let's look at why. 350Z?
Fast car.
Racing it.
They're small. Racing it, right? Small, right? Titan pickup, huge, huge, high center of gravity. Mm-hmm. So then you get rollovers with that. Chevrolet Aveo and the Chevrolet Cobalt?
Small.
Tiny, tiny little cars.
Would that also be new drivers because people are getting cars for kids?
At the price point that you're looking at, you could probably be looking at a less experienced driver who might be texting or something.
So these are all vehicles to fear in addition to Richie Witt's white truck, right?
Yeah.
Add these to the list.
I'm absolutely convinced Richie's right, by the way.
He is right.
Yeah. It's all cars now are getting safer and safer and safer. So there's less worry with the airbags. And we're going to talk about airbags in a little bit because there's a big Cadillac recall right now about airbags. But with the side impact airbag, with the side impact protection, head impact airbags, the side curtains, all of those things make cars safer than they have ever been. And so they're all pretty darn safe. But the electronic stability control has been the one big change in the business that has resulted in less lost lives.
And those smaller, less expensive cars usually don't have that system.
They're going to now.
They're going to start making that standard.
In fact, it's going to be mandatory in another year.
Good.
Yeah.
To read these stories, you can go to autoflex.com and then just click on the Facebook icon. You can go straight to these and many more that David digs up each week to let you know what's going on in the auto industry. And you can reach them at 817 or 972-234-1234 and at autoflex.com. So what is this Firestone Twin 275s all about? One of the guys in the race is James Hinchcliffe. We'll talk to him next here at 105.3 The Fan.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
My name is Wally Lynn, in for Sybil. She'll be back next week. She's kind of busy out at Texas Motor Speedway today. David Blassingame is here. Tammy Pickard is here. And running in the Firestone Twin 275s this weekend, he will be running out of the 15th hole in the first race tonight. It is Canadian James Hinchcliffe. And James, welcome back to Texas.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you, James. This is Tammy.
Hello there.
And this is David. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Doing great. We're really glad to have you on the show. We've read your bio, and you are quite the accomplished racer, especially for a young guy. You've not been doing – how long have you actually been racing automobiles?
Wow. Well, like most guys, I started in go-karting, and I started that when I was 9 years old, but I didn't move into cars until I was about 17, so 24 now.
Wow.
I've been doing it a little while, but this is, you know, first year up in IndyCars, so it's pretty exciting to be here.
I bet it is.
You drove in a kart race at the Texas Motor Speedway at one time, is that right?
Yeah, there was a series called Superkarts USA, and they used to have really big go-karting races all over the country. And I remember one year, I want to say it was maybe 02, 03, something like that, they had a race, a racetrack sort of built in the parking lot of the Speedway, and it was during the IndyCar weekend, so I remember we saw some IndyCar drivers, and we went up and watched the race on Sunday. So, yeah, I've been here before, but racing in a very different capacity.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So is that the advice you would give to young people who want to start out in car racing? They need to start with go-karts?
100%, absolutely. You know, racing is a lot like a lot of other sports in that, you know, these days, if you're not doing it, but, you know, if you're not throwing a football by the age of five or skating by the age of three, you know, you're never going to make it in those sports. And racing sort of similar, you know, if you've got an opportunity and you want to be, you know, if you think a career in motorsports is what you want, you absolutely have to start in go-karts as young as possible, because that experience, you know, that you gain at that level just always transfers all the way up. So definitely an important step.
Hey, James, this is Wally. Can you explain to us how the Twin 275 works? It's a little bit different than the average race, so kind of explain the format to us, if you would.
Yeah, this is it's a cool new thing that we're doing, and it's not new to IndyCar racing. They used to do it, but it was, yeah, I think the last one was about 30 years ago. So basically what we've done is we've taken a normal race distance and we've split it in half. So we went through a normal qualifying procedure yesterday to set the grid for the first race, and it's called the Twin 275s, and that's because the distance is 275 kilometers. So we're going to do a normal race, basically, just like we would any other time, except it's only going to be half that normal race distance. And then we have an hour break in two races, and in that hour break, we're going to do a random draw for the order of the second race start. So it's going to be kind of cool. It's going to add a bit of an unknown to the second race, because, you know, you could have good luck, you could have bad luck. You could start up front or start in the back.
So yeah. So if you have a rough first half, you can just say, man, I hope I get a good draw.
Kind of like Jacks or Wild,
exactly,
in a card game.
You know, and you even get a chance to work on the car a little bit. I mean, there's not much you can do in that time, but you can make adjustments. So, you know, if you maybe didn't roll off with the best car, you still got a chance to come back and have a good evening.
Okay.
That's a really, really interesting concept. There was a Canadian driver named Greg Moore, and mm-hmm. there was an award named after him. He was known for his personality and certainly his driving talent, and you were actually awarded that in 2010. What was that like, especially you being a Canadian driver?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was extra special because, you know, myself personally, Greg was my hero growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a large part of the reason I got into racing and wanted to be a race car driver. And, you know, he was very tragically killed back in 1999 at a race in Fontana, California. So, and like you say, he was a guy who was known not only for his on-track abilities, but for his, you know, his personality and the way he'd interact with fans. And, you know, he was a really well-liked guy off-track. And so being the guy that I sort of idolized growing up to win an award that, you know, is issued in his honor was, it was a very, very special moment.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's huge.
So in Canada, give us the order of sports interest. So it starts with hockey. What's 2, 3, 4, and 5 on the Canadian sports interest list after hockey?
Like you say, hockey's about a mile and a half ahead of everything else.
Uh-huh.
And then, in all honesty, IndyCar racing is probably pretty close battle for second with maybe football
or Steve baseball. Nash.
It's tough, you know. It depends what city you're in as well. It sort of varies city to city, but the one universally common theme is that hockey is number one. You know, if you're in, you know, Toronto's obviously a big race town because we have a race there every year and have for 25 years. You know, if you go a bit further east, Montreal has got the Grand Prix, which is actually running there this weekend, Formula One there.
Oh, wow.
So there's certain cities that are definitely very big race cities. But, you know, we have the Blue Jays or baseball team up in Toronto. You know, there's a couple basketball teams. So it's a big sporting country, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you. What do you drive for your personal car?
I actually drive a Mini Cooper.
Oh, how
you
I
do
love
not.
Mini Coopers.
That's, let me tell you what, that's one of my
that's
favorite
awesome.
Cars.
That's a fun little handling car, isn't it?
It's the best car on the road.
I actually agree with you. You know, it's got the strongest resale of any car out there.
10 years running.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everybody makes fun of me when you say, you know, you expect an IndyCar driver to drive some really stupid, exotic, high horsepower, something completely, you know, irrational. But no, I might be on my second one. I've driven a lot of cars. I've had, you know, a lot of opportunities to try, you know, own cars or drive other people's cars. And at the end of the day, for the price of the car, what you're getting, how much fun it is to drive, you know, it's big enough to get me in my suitcase to the airport, but small enough that people aren't asking me to help them move on the weekend.
Awesome.
You know, it's great for navigating traffic downtown. You can park it anywhere. You know, it's...
Well, that's true.
Like you say, it resales great. I mean, they're just so much fun. I just love it.
I wonder how much you would increase the resale value of your Mini Cooper by just signing your name on the dash, kind of like Carroll Shelby does with his cars?
It'll probably depreciate.
No, no. But, all right, I got to ask you one thing, just a personal thing. I love to scuba dive, and I love Turks and Caicos, and in reading, I think you do too.
Yes, absolutely. If I wasn't a racing driver, I'd be a bomb being a scuba dive instructor in Turks. There's no doubt.
Well, it is. It's just such a beautiful place down there, and the you get a lot of sharks, reefs. There used to be a giant grouper named Elvis down there that liked to be petted. He was a lot of fun.
Well, have you met grouper? Jojo the dolphin yet?
Oh yeah, I met Jojo. And have you been diving with Fifi?
No,
Fifi. Fifi Turks Caicos.
We're completely
off. He owns Dive Caicos.
It's James, is this a video game that you and David play, or is this really true?
No, it's true.
This is the real deal.
Yeah, it's true.
So they have dolphins and stuff that are regulars at the diving spot?
Yeah.
The island of Provo has a resident dolphin, and its name is Jojo. And, there's obviously a lot of – they dive every day there. It's a touristy spot, too, so there's a lot of diving going on every day. And, usually once a week you'll hear from one of the groups that Jojo swung by to say hi, loves people. You're not allowed to touch the dolphin, but if a dolphin wants to come up to you and rub up against you, that's fine. And he loves people, very social. I think he thinks he is a person.
He's been there for years and years too. I mean,
really?
he's not a young dolphin.
No.
All right. How's the dolphin economy? They talk, right? How are they doing these days?
Better than you think. They were not hit in 2008 as bad as we were.
I have another question for you about, racing. Obviously, it's exciting. And your heart rate has to increase while you're making those laps around the track, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this is our ender, James. This is our ender topic. So be ready for this.
Well, I'm just curious. Does anybody ever test that? Does anybody put a heart rate monitor on you guys to find out what your resting heart rate is, and then what it is during the drive, and then to record things like those near crashes? And how does it feel physically when that happens?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of people, when you watch on TV, you don't appreciate how physical it really is to drive an Indy car. Especially around a place like Texas here, we're going through like 4.5 G's sustained on each end of the racetrack. So, as a driver, you work out probably 2 to 3 hours a day, 6 days a week, to be fit enough to last these races. Because, like you say, your heart rate goes up. So your heart rate, and we have put monitors on drivers before. I've worn one before, and it can be sort of a consistent 160, 170, and we're going to do that for 2.5 hours straight. Then on top of that, the force through the steering wheel that we have to turn in the car physically, because we don't have power steering, and the faster we go, the downforce on the car actually makes the steering heavier. And at this track in particular, you're turning every 5 seconds, basically. And so to do that, several hundred times overnight in the heat that you get down here, it really, really is a physical game. They say that racing drivers are the second most fit athletes on the planet next to triathletes.
Yeah, I bet
so
they
it
are.
It is quite a thing. And yes, you do see spikes in the heart rate when you have one of those near misses. But it's important to try and be able to control that and get it back down as soon as possible.
Wow. I bet it is exciting.
James, for people, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it was one of those things when that happens, you have to remember to breathe, because you can't really breathe in the corners. The G-forces are too much, that if you let your breath go, you won't be able to inhale again because your lungs are under so much pressure.
Wow.
So you have to breathe on the straightaways and hold your breath in the corners. It's pretty gnarly.
That's crazy intense. I'd never heard that before. Thanks for sharing
cool.
that with us and our audience. That's amazing.
Like I said, it's one of those things that you just can't appreciate, And when you watch a basketball game, you can watch a guy, nail a three-pointer, and you're like, I know how hard that is, because I've seen a basketball net, and I've tried to throw it in, and I got nowhere close. So I can relate to that. But not a lot of people have driven a race car around a mile and a half oval to appreciate what's really going on.
And not
so
at the speed.
So it looks all calm and stable on TV, but I'm telling you, in the car, it is outrageous what's going on.
I bet it is.
Hey, for those who want to follow you, not only tonight but in the future, your website's real cool. What's the website address for that now?
The website is hinchtown.com. And it's our little play on a typical driver's website because it's very, very atypical. But it's kind of fun. I've moved this little internet civilization, this internet city called Hinchtown, and I'm the self-proclaimed mayor of it. And it's just it's a fun way of us to try and give a little bit more of, of an inside look under the life of a racing driver.
You made a lot of new fans today, James, and so best of luck to you tonight. Very
cool.
We'll
be cool. Watching. We'll be watching.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you, James.
James Hinchcliffe in the Firestone Twin 275s tonight. He'll start out of the 15th position and kind of a renaissance guy.
And everybody remember, they only breathe during the straightaway.
That's wild.
So all of you try to hold your breath during the turns of your favorite driver and see how it feels.
The push to pry drivers from their mobile devices. We discuss next. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive on 105.3 The Fan.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Well, I'm not bragging, babe, so don't put me down. But I've got
947, it's Wally Lynn for Sybil. She'll be back next week. Saturday Morning Test Drive with David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. The phone number 877-881-1053. Fan text 43733. We're just learning about Charlie the Barracuda as we got down that scuba diving road.
Name your fish.
Talking about his run in with an 8-foot barracuda that was friendly, that actually was nice and didn't kill you. Obviously,
it
you're here.
Scared me to death. Yeah. I thought my heart was going to stop.
Great stuff there. But we really do appreciate the time from James Hinchcliffe this morning and wish him luck tonight.
I've got to cover a couple of things on Fantext because we've not gotten back on
any
of these.
Yeah, get that real quick and then we'll talk about mobiles.
Exactly. There is a Fantext from somebody. I don't have the name on this, so I don't know who you are. Said you were having problems getting qualified. If you'll call me on Monday, it looks like it's a cosign deal. If you'll call me directly on Monday, I'll take care of it for you, and we'll get you fixed up. A Jeep Wrangler has the highest resale value for the last 14 years. Jeep Wranglers are great. They have great resale value. I think the Mini Cooper is actually stronger, though, for the last few years than the Jeep Wrangler, but both of them are just great. Another one, got my last car at Autoflex, took 20 minutes. Went to lease a new car at a dealer, took between 3 and 4 hours. Sad face. I'm sorry, guys. If you come back to Autoflex, it won't take but 20 minutes. Okay, I'm done.
There you go. Well, there are plans in the works, and this is not breaking news or surprising news, but from the standpoint of this is in the news, but drivers are being told to pay more attention and get that stinking phone out of your hand when you're driving.
Absolutely.
So, Tammy, what's the latest in terms of what the NHTSA is trying to push through here?
Well, they basically say a car is not a mobile device, people. A car is a car, and we will not take a back seat while new telematics and infotainment systems are introduced. There is too much potential for distraction of drivers. They are not in the business of helping people tweet better, okay? They really are serious about this, and now they've begun developing guidelines for in-vehicle systems and aim to push them this fall. They're setting up the new guidelines that are going to come out, and they're going to start limiting things.
You know, there's a lot of talk. I mean, I read a lot of stuff this last week about people being very upset because the government is so involved in everyone's life and everyone's business now. And so there's a lot of people, there's a lot of pushback on this. People saying, you know what? It's my cell phone. It's my car. It's my infotainment system. So I should have the right to do whatever I want to.
That would be great if there wasn't another soul on the road for you to impact when you impact with them.
You know, I'm torn on this one.
Well, most people are, but I'm not torn at all.
Okay. Well,
Here's
mine. Is that, are we going to get to the point where listening to the radio is considered a distraction?
Well,
that if I'm listening to a talk show, I'm not as focused as I should be on the road, or I'm raging because of a story that somebody reads the radio?
If you take that down to granular level, you actually are. I mean, I know that I have been talking on a hands-free cell phone and missed an exit.
I always miss exits talking on the phone, that's
okay.
For sure.
Here's why. Your brain has so much focus power, and if it's on the road in front of you, you've got 100% of it or 90% of it's probably there. If you're talking on the phone, it takes part of your focus away from the road, and it gives it to your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you miss an exit when you're talking on a hands-free phone. And I know I've done it, so it's real to me. Even though you don't think it does, it does take part of your attention away.
You know, that,
especially if you're in like a heated conversation.
Hey, and that's just a conversation.
That's the bust right there. Because, as like I said, as I think about it, and I'm thinking about this most recently because I seem to be on the phone more now than I ever have been, I miss exits.
Right.
A lot.
Right.
And
you can still be hands-free. It doesn't matter.
And the typical thing that I see is as you're missing you haven't quite missed it, but you're in the middle lane, and then you cut off two lanes to catch your exit, because most people who are foolish enough to be not paying attention to the road are also foolish enough to make a right turn from the left-hand lane, and then that puts everybody else around them in danger, you know, when they should just go on to the next exit. But then it just puts a big inconvenience on everybody.
Okay, but how much can really be done? How much can we limit what your cell phone is doing while you are driving?
They can limit it completely.
They can.
They can shut it. I mean, my computer in my car won't let me do certain things while I'm driving. I can't change destinations.
On the navigation.
I can't do certain things in my car while the car is moving. They can keep those devices from working when a car is moving. Now, here's why they don't want to.
Emergencies.
No.
Passengers.
They make a lot of money selling the infotainment devices, and they use the infotainment devices to sell cars.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we have some industry involvement, and a lot of people in the industry say, yeah, that's a bad thing, the reality is they keep building cars with more and more technology and infotainment built into them because you can build a lot more value into a car.
Sure.
A car.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because you're bringing your living room into your car, especially for those people who have those 45-minute-plus commutes.
This is going to be a big battle.
It's going to be a big battle. And let me tell you the other thing. There was a guy that pulled into a Toyota dealer and wanted to know why he couldn't recharge his iPhone with the plug-in, with the MP3 plug-in. Well, it was never designed to recharge an iPhone, but people want everything to work with everything else now. They expect
it. All to sync together.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think we're ever going to get people to stop talking on the phone. Bluetooth is a big help because at least it takes your hands and puts them both back on the wheel. Hopefully you're not eating, talking, and driving. Hopefully you're just talking and driving. But the texting is a huge thing because it's taking your eyes off the road as well as your brain.
Yeah.
You know, right. If you're already devoting this percentage of your attention to the conversation, take your eyes off the road too. Watched a woman go right by me yesterday texting in her car during rush hour traffic, and cars all around her. I couldn't even believe it. She was looking straight down.
Mm-hmm. It's normal. It's absolutely
normal.
I watched a lady almost run into a semi on a curve coming off Woodall Rogers going to 75. She almost drove up under a semi because she was texting. She had to swerve back, sharp, hard swerve, to get back in the left-hand lane to keep from hitting the truck. I pulled up and around her after we hit Central going northbound, and she was looking dead down, still texting.
You know what? I met somebody one time who was
lesson.
She was flipping out her phone for another phone because she wanted a phone that was easier to text with while driving.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's
because
practical.
She wanted the keys to be where she didn't have to look.
Right, she wanted buttons she could feel, not like an iPhone,
yeah.
Those flat ones.
That's why
she
wanted
got
another
she feel.
Phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they're going to stop it.
I don't either.
We have like 20 states left that they haven't made texting while driving illegal yet.
Well, we're going to have somebody from the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration on in the next couple of weeks.
Excellent.
To discuss this with them. I have gone 180 degrees. I was one of those guys that said, you know what, it's my business. I do what I want to do. I live like I want to live. I've changed. I think it's silly to text. It's crazy. It's uninformed. It's dangerous. And
how are you going to feel if you hurt somebody else?
Yeah.
With your nonsense doing
or,
that, then how are you going to feel?
How are you
going to
feel about
changed?
It? How are you going to feel about it if somebody kills one of your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, until I think it affects somebody directly, they don't quite get it. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so I think that's, you know, I hate for everybody to learn a lesson like that. It's horrible, but it'll change your life if you cause an accident like that, take somebody's life financially, emotionally. You know, emotionally you won't get over it. Financially you'll feel it for a long time because let me tell you, somebody's going to sue the shorts off of you. They really will.
Well, if you want to read more on these stories or just go to some mighty fine folks to get your car leased or purchased, it's autoflex.com, and you can call David. You need to call him on Monday, as you mentioned.
Exactly. Either 817 or 972-234-1234. To read these stories, go to autoflex.com, click on the Facebook icon, and you'll see all of these stories and all of the rest of the Inside Auto News we publish every week.
David, thanks. Tammy, appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Chris Arnold, coming up next. My name is Wally Lynn. It's 105.3 The Fan.